After leaving the place of the florist, Krishna and Balaram, while passing on the street, Krishna saw one hunched young old man carrying the dish of chandan palm. As Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, he wanted to make all his companions joyous by cutting joke with the hunchbacked woman by talking with him as follows. This is 42nd chapter, subject, combating the restless. The woman was hunchbacked, but Krishna, just to cut joke with him, addressed her, the young, tall woman, who are you, please tell me, and you are carrying the sandalwood pearl in your hand, for whom you are carrying this? I think you should offer us this sandalwood pearl, and if you do so, I'm sure it will be in all auspicious condition. Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knew everything about the hunchbacked woman. Still, by his inquiry, he indicated that there was no use of serving a demon. Better, if she would serve Krishna and Balaram, she would get immediate result of the service. The woman replied to Krishna, my dear Shamasunda, the beautiful blackish boy, you may know me that I am servant by Kamsa. I am engaged in this business of supplying him daily pulp of sandal wood, and the king is very much pleased upon me for supplying this nice thing. But I see that who can be better served by this pulp of sandal wood than you two brothers at the present moment. In this way, the hunchbacked woman, being very much captivated by the beautiful features of Krishna and Balaram, they are talking, they are smiling, they are glancing, and other activities, she began to smear over their body with all the pulp of sandalwood, to his great satisfaction and with great devotion. The transcendental two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, were naturally beautiful with their respective complexion, and they were nicely dressed with colorful garments. Therefore, their upper portion of the body were already very beautifully looking, and when the hunchbacked woman smeared over their body with sandal pulp, at that time they looked still more beautiful by such action. By this service of the hunchbacked woman, Krishna was very much pleased, and he began to think within himself how to favor the woman, because she had already given Lord Krishna very satisfactory service. In other words, in order to draw the attention of the Lord, the Krishna conscious devotee has to serve him in great love and devotion. Krishna cannot be pleased by any other action of a devotee than transcendental loving service unto him. Thinking like this, Lord Krishna pressed the feet of the hunchbacked woman with his toes and capturing his cheeks with the fingers of his hands, he gave her a jerking in order to make her straight. Immediately, the hunchbacked woman looked a straight, nice girl with a broader hip, thinner waist, and very well-figured, nice breast. In other words, Krishna, being pleased with the service of the hunchbacked woman, and the woman being touched by the hands of Krishna, immediately became the most beautiful girl amongst women. This instance gives us evidence that by serving Krishna, the devotee immediately becomes elevated and exalted position in all respects. Devotional service is so nice that anyone who takes to it, he becomes qualified with all godly qualities. Krishna was attracted to the hunchback woman not for her beauty but for her service. And when the hunchback woman rendered him service, she immediately became the most beautiful woman. In other words, Krishna conscious person does not require to be qualified or beautiful, but after being Krishna conscious and rendering service unto Krishna, such devotee certainly becomes very much qualified and beautiful also. When the girl was turned into an exquisitely beautiful young girl by the favor of Krishna, naturally she thought her very much of lies to Krishna and was also attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and without any hesitation she caught the rear part of his cloth and began to snatch him with attractive smile, showing that she had become agitated by lusty desires. She forgot herself that she was on the street and before the elder brother of Krishna and his friend. But she frankly proposed to Krishna, "My dear hero, I cannot leave you in this way. You must come to my place. I'm already very much attracted with your beauty, so I must receive you well. And because you are the best amongst the males, so you must also be very kind upon me." In plain words, she proposed that Krishna should go to her home and satisfy her lusty desires. Krishna, of course, felt a little bit ashamed in front of his elder brother, Balaram, but he knew that the girl was simple and attractive. Therefore, he could not but simply smile on her word, looking towards her other cowherd's boyfriend. He replied to the girl as follows, "My dear beautiful girl, I am very much pleased for your invitation, and I must come to your home after finishing my all other business here, because such beautiful girls are the only means of solace for persons like us who are away from home and at the same time not married. Certainly you can give us relief from all kinds of mental agitation for want of suitable girlfriend." Krishna satisfied the girl in this way of sweet words, and then leaving her there, he began to proceed on the street of the marketplace where many mercantile class of men were prepared to receive him with various kinds of presentation, especially betel nuts, flowers, sandal, wood twirl, etc. The mercantile men in the market street thus worship Krishna and Balaram with great respect. In this way, when Krishna was passing through the street, all the women in the surrounding houses came to see him, and some of them who were younger, they almost became unconscious, being captivated by the beauty of Krishna, and their bunch of hair and tight dress became loosened, and they did not know where they were standing. Next matter. Krishna then inquired from the citizens where the place of sacrifice was fixed up, conferred for the sacrifice, which is known as Dhanush Yagya. And to indicate this particular type of sacrifice, he placed near the place, altar of sacrifice, a big bow resembling the rainbow in the sky. The bow was very big and wonderful also. The specific bow of the sacrificial arena was being protected by many constables and watchmen engaged by King Kamsa. And when Krishna Balaram was going nearer to the bow, they warned them not to go nearby. But Krishna did not care for their warning, and he forcibly rushed therein and immediately took up the big bow in his hand. Krishna immediately took up the bow by his left hand, and he joined the string also, and in the presence of the crowd, he broke the bow from the middle into two parts, exactly like the elephant breaks the sugar cane in the agricultural field. In this way, everyone present there could appreciate how much powerful Krishna was. When the bow was broken, the cracking sound filled up both sky and land very loudly, and it was heard by Kamsa. And when the incident was explained to him, immediately he became afraid of his life. The caretakers of the bow, who were standing by, seeing this action of Krishna, became very much angry, and with their respective weapons in the hand, began to rush towards Krishna, saying, arrest him, arrest him, kill him, kill him. In this way, all of them surrounded Krishna and Balaram. When they thus surrounded Krishna and Balaram, they could understand their sinister motive, and thus became very much angry upon them, and the two brothers, taking the two pieces of the broken bow, began to beat all the caretaker men of Kamsa. When this turmoil was going on, Kamsa, in order to assist his men, sent a small group of troops, but both Krishna and Balaram also fought with them and killed them. After this, Krishna did not go further into the arena of the sacrifice, but got out of the gate and began to proceed towards their resting camp and visiting all other places of Mathura city with great delight. All the citizens of Mathura, after seeing the activities of Krishna and his wonderful prowess, all of them took the two brothers as if some demigods must have come down to Mathura, and they were all looking upon the two brothers with great astonishment. When these two brothers were strolling in the street without caring for any law and order of Kansa, gradually the time for sunset ensued, and thus Krishna and Balaram, along with their cowherd boy friends, returned to the place where all their carts were assembled outside this cart of the city. Thus Krishna and Balaram, before entering the sacrificial arena, which was to be performed the day after, gave some preliminary hints about his arrival to Kamsa, and Kamsa also could understand that what severe type of dangers were awaiting him the next day. When Krishna and Balaram were starting from Vrindavan for Mathura, the inhabitants of Vrindavan imagined only the great fortune of the citizens, because they would see the wonderful beauty of Krishna, worshipped by his pure devotees, as well as by the goddess of fortune. The inhabitants of Vrindavan actually enjoyed the appearance of Krishna exactly to the idea in total. In this way, the citizens of Mathura became fully satisfied in their mind by seeing Krishna. Next man. In this way, when Krishna returned to his camp, he was taken care by the servants for washing his lotus feet, and then given nice seat and offered milk and palatable dishes of foodstuff were offered to him, and thus after taking the supper and thinking of the program next day arranged by Kamsa, he very peacefully went to take rest and pass the night there. Next one. On the other side, when Kamsa came to understand about the breaking of the great wonderful bow and then killing of the caretakers and the soldiers by Krishna, he could realize partially that how much powerful is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could now realize that the eighth son of Devaki, Krishna, has now appeared, and now his death was imminent. And thinking of his imminent death, the whole night he could not sleep. He began to see many inauspicious dreams, and he could understand that both Krishna and Balaram were now approached in the precincts of the city where messenger of his death. Kamsa began to see various kinds of inauspicious signs, both awakening and dreaming. He could not see his head just looking towards the mirror, although the head was factually present there, and he could see the luminaries in the sky into double set, just like a person sees with glaucoma in the eyes, although there is one set only factually. He began to see holes on his shadow, and was hearing a high buzzing sound within the ear. He was seeing all the trees before him as if made of gold, and he could not see his own footprints on dust or muddy clay. In dreams, he was seeing various types of hosts being carried in the carriage drawn by the donkeys. He was dreaming also that somebody gave him poison and he was drinking. He dreamt also that he was going naked with a garland of four flowers, smearing oil all over the body. In this way, Kamsa was seeing various symptoms of death, both awakening and sleeping. And he could understand that death was sure, and thus in great anxiety he could not sleep the whole night. Just after the expiry of the night, immediately he became very much busy to arrange for the wrestling match immediately after the sunrise. The wrestling dress was very nicely cleaned and decorated with flags and festoons and flowers. Then the news was announced by beating of kettles and drums, and the platform was looking very beautiful on account of festoons and flags. There was arrangement of different types of galleries for respectable persons, kings, and thus the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, and the kings took their respective seats on thrones, and other arranged seats. Everything was complete. Kamsa also arrived along with his various ministers and secretaries and was seated on the raised platform especially meant for him. Unfortunately, although he was sitting as the center of all governing executive heads, his heart was palpitating for fear of death. The cruel death is evidently careless for any person either as powerful as Kamsa, kings or presidents. When death would come, it would not care for any person's exalted position. When everything was complete, the wrestlers were meant for exhibiting their acrobatic feats, and the assembly were seen passing through, decorated with nice ornaments and dress. Some of the famous wrestlers were known as Chanul, Musti, Sala, Kuto, Tosal, and all of them being very much enthused by the musical concert began to pass through with great alacrity. And all the respectable cowherd's men who came from Vrindavan, headed by Nanda, Maharaj and others, they were also welcomed by Kamsa. And thus, after presenting Kamsa with all the milk products they brought with them, they also took their respective seats by the side of the king in another platform which was especially meant for them. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 42nd chapter, Krishna in the matter of combating of the wrestlers.